Hi, this is Kim Katola. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Cradle My Heart Radio. You can hear the show live on Sundays at 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Central, and there are many more podcasts for this and all of our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thank you for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
A safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion. This is Cradle My Heart Radio. Cradle My Heart with Kim Katola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003.
Wow, what a week since we last spoke. Thank you for joining us tonight, and welcome. This is Cradle My Heart Radio, and I'm glad that you are joining us, and I'm glad that you're here. Of course, I'm talking about the election and a seismic shift in the leadership of our country. Record number of pro-life women are headed off to Congress. 73% of National Right to Life candidates won in direct matches against Emily's List candidates. And, you know, this program doesn't concern itself with politics because our hope is in the Lord. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the Lord. But the trend, to me, is extremely encouraging for those of us who believe that abortion should not be an option. It wouldn't need to be if the social structure were proper and if women received what they actually need to receive. And one of the other big developments in my world this week was the debut of the Stanek Report. Jill Stanek's been a guest on this program, and she started a new service, Up to the Minute Pro-Life News. And it runs the gamut from politics to commentary to bioethics, stories about abortion providers, stories about abortion clinics, stories about, of course, abortion alternatives, about celebrities making news in the realm of pro-life and pro-choice politics. And one of the stories there, we've got linked on our Facebook page tonight at facebook.com/cradlemyheart. And this is a fascinating story because one of the big talking points for those who insist that that women need abortion is that if it's banned, women will have it anyway. It'll just go underground and become illegal and unsafe. Well, there's a story that's being reported, and again, you can find it on facebook.com/cradlemyheart. We've got it linked there, about what happened in Chile. They prohibited abortion by law in 1989, and they have been seeing abortion rates decrease. Legal restriction of abortion with a negative connotation, the report says, since the idea of women resorting to illegal abortion, even risking their own lives, is so strongly rooted in the public opinion, not only here in the United States, but in Chile and worldwide. However, a series of independently peer-reviewed articles challenge this notion in some countries, and the latest data is being discussed by the Chilean epidemiologist Elard Koch, who is director of research of the Melissa Institute in the current issue of the official journal of the Chilean Society of Obstetrics and Gynecology. The research shows not only abortion-related mortality continued to decrease in Chile after its prohibition by law in 1989, but also hospital discharges due to abortion significantly decreased during the last decade. And they concede that some of this may be due to, you know, one of the trends that we've talked about on this program, women buying the abortion pills on the black market or in flea markets, and off-label use of misoprostol. But the fact remains, those deaths are not being reported. There is no link happening in Chile between banning abortion and seeing large numbers of women dying from illegal abortions. So I was excited about that story. You learn a lot at the Stanek Report, up to the minute pro-life news. I don't really have a stake in it. I'm just passing that along because, you know, there are other websites that I visit, pro and con. You know, I do look at RH Reality Check. I do look at some of the feminist websites that have a very strong liberal and pro-choice bent. But I've come to rely on this last week on the Stanek Report for some pretty thorough coverage of what's going on out there. Tonight we are excited to bring you a new feature here on Cradle My Heart Radio, and that'll be happening in the second half of the program, so stay tuned for more details about our partnership with the Silent No More Awareness Campaign. We're going to have weekly stories from women who are healed after abortion and are now speaking out to help share the truth about the negative impact of abortion in their lives personally. And we want to begin tonight with a professional counselor. Our guest is Jessica Slavensky. She's a licensed professional counselor, over 20 years experience in the mental health and addictions fields, and she's helping to promote understanding of men and women in crisis pregnancy situations and also promote awareness of the complex psychological and spiritual impacts of abortion in order to enable healing and reconciliation. Jessica, welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio.
Thank you, Kim. Thanks for having me.
You're involved with the PATH organization in the Atlanta area where I live, and some listening in other markets might not be aware of that ministry. Give us just the thumbnail sketch of what PATH does.
Sure. PATH stands for Post-Abortion Treatment and Healing. It is a nonprofit organization and ministry that is dedicated to healing anyone that's been impacted by abortion. So this not only includes the mom of the child that was aborted, but the father as well, and any friends or family that participated. What we do is we educate the public. We do a lot of public speaking, and we also do Bible studies that are probably about 8 to 10 weeks long, and we have some healing retreats, which is a Rachel's Vineyard retreat.
So tell me about your role as a counselor in this ministry, because one of the things that so surprised me as I started researching the help that's available for women out there is that the American Psychological Association has an official position that abortion doesn't harm women spiritually or mentally.
Right.
Or impact their mental health, I guess, is what they have gone on record as saying.
Right. It is so disturbing to hear that. You know, it is a quite a liberal institution. And, you know, the fact is these studies that they insist that they've completed, it's very difficult to do a comprehensive study with women that have post-traumatic stress disorder or who are still confused about what had happened to them during their abortion experience. And they really can't sustain any kind of or tolerate emotionally any kind of conversation about their abortion, so they typically drop out. So a lot of these studies are not really full or complete. So my role in working with PATH is really to kind of educate regarding the psychological dynamic of a woman who has come in having had an abortion experience maybe 30 years ago, or someone who aborted last week. And it is really to educate the volunteers on how to handle situations where these women are just terribly distraught and confused and conflicted. So I do a lot of supervision. I assist certainly with our retreats, where we have to have a clinician on the retreat because it's so incredibly intense and the wound is so deep that we just need a group effort to stabilize anyone should they become incredibly distraught.
So it's a bit like helping someone who has been traumatized to put a name to what they've experienced.
Absolutely. I think it's interesting that sometimes women come in, and if they have had an abortion, sometimes they wonder if that really happened because they may have aborted prior to getting that baby bump, or even prior to feeling anything different other than maybe a little nausea. So they think that they're crazy. They're wondering, was I really pregnant? Did this really happen? I didn't see a baby, but I went in for this procedure. So it's kind of this very surreal experience where they're not sure if that actually occurred, and then they can't talk about it. So when they come to path, we let them talk about it, and we encourage them to walk towards the pain instead of away from it, because that's the only way that you'll get healing, is to actually address the pain.
And so from a clinical point of view, what are some of the mental health issues that women commonly will face?
A lot of times they come in and they have a lot of symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. They have some hyper-arousal around menstruation that reminds them of their abortion experience. Some of them can't run a vacuum cleaner because the sound of the suction reminds them of the machine. So they have high anxiety and high avoidance. They might avoid baby showers. They can't tolerate driving by the abortion clinic. Some become sexually anorexic or promiscuous. It's this whole plethora of symptoms around how do I behave now? And it's so terribly confusing. So a lot of anxiety, a lot of guilt, a lot of confusion. And then they isolate because of the shame and guilt associated with having had an abortion.
Jessica, I'd like to have you address that in terms of whether you feel that that is intrinsic, or is that coming from having been shamed? In other words, you know, we'll often hear that, in fact, and we've covered it on this program quite a bit, that there is a move afoot, a grassroots movement, or maybe it's even sponsored by abortion proponents in the abortion industry, that it should be normalized. It's a common medical procedure. One in three women has experienced it. And the only reason there's a stigma around it is because of the judgments of others, that there's no intrinsic shame or, ill impact, negative impact emotionally.
Right.
Does that bear out with what you see as you encounter women after abortion?
You know, I think that, we are designed as women to become pregnant, to house babies very safely inside of our bodies, and then to deliver these children and actually feed them. So we are made by God to do just that. And when we abruptly end a pregnancy, that is very unnatural. And everything about that stopping this pregnancy and seeing it through goes against how we're designed. So it makes sense to me that there would be a very big spiritual impact. Now, I do think that that is coupled with what society is telling us, which is very confusing, because you have some people trying to normalize it and pass it off as just a simple medical procedure, it's just a clump of cells. But spiritually, we know that once you conceive, that's a soul, that's a little person that only needs time to grow. So I think it's twofold. I mean, I think it's kind of a nature and a nurture, but truly we are made Women are made to be relational and to connect and to engage. And by being pregnant, we are already mothers, whether or not that baby is born.
Amen. Amen. And so the maternal instincts, I believe, also is real.
Absolutely.
And this is, I believe, also what we are responding to when we have this shame, mm-hmm. when we have the isolation and all the other things you've described. Stay with us. Our guest tonight, Jessica Slavinsky, and I want to open the phones for your questions. 800-811-3003. Jessica is a professional counselor as well as an advocate for women in the Rachel's Vineyard retreats through the PATH Ministry in Atlanta, Georgia. 800-811-3003, our number. We're here for your questions tonight at Cradle My Heart Radio.
A safe place to connect with others. Finding God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003. back to Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cotola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003.
Our phones are open for you tonight, and I also want to go to a listener who reached out to us via email, an anonymous listener. And Jessica, I'd love to have you answer this, and then I'll share some thoughts too. And I'm not going to read the whole letter. It's a little bit lengthy, but essentially what she says is, I made the worst mistake of my life 2.5 years ago. My husband and I have 3 wonderful children. We bought a new home and decided the family was complete. Then I was in jeopardy of losing my job, and I found myself pregnant, and all of a sudden our stable world became a scary one. My husband's fears were voiced loud and clear, and his fears quickly became mine. I pleaded with my husband to not force me to end the pregnancy because this was something I didn't believe in, but I found myself saying goodbye to my child. I went to a dark, empty place that same day. My only thoughts were getting my child back. My husband promised me that I would become pregnant when the time was right, and it was hard to breathe and just exist, so I sought spiritual guidance. And then 4 months later, knowing it was my fertile time, I kept that information from my husband and became pregnant. But now my job was in jeopardy, and I terminated that pregnancy as well. And she goes on to say, Jessica, that she's having so much trouble. As you mentioned some of these things in terms of what women may commonly experience. She's having trouble with her menstrual cycle. She's having trouble with the intimacy in the marriage. She's having trouble missing the children, longing to replace those children, even though she says rationally she knows that's not possible. She says, every other month my body shows me signs I'm pregnant, and the fears and anxiety begin again. So... and what she pinpoints as the area she most needs the help with is that she says, I know no child can ever be replaced, but why do I feel this way? Yearning for a child only to become fearful of the idea of becoming pregnant and then sad to find out that I'm not. And she says, I want to heal and make the right decision. So what words would you share with this dear one who has reached out to us?
Story that I've heard many times, where a couple has children, they become pregnant, and then the situation might not be ideal, and stressful situations occur, and the pregnancy is aborted. What we know is that over 64% of women that have abortions are coerced into having them. They are pressured. It is so challenging for a woman to make a good decision when she has her body is flooded with hormones to sustain a pregnancy. So that there's an immense amount of pressure that she places upon herself to decide whether or not this child lives or dies. And that's unfortunate because it's really more than just her making this decision. In becoming pregnant a second time, that makes perfect sense to me because that's what we do. We long to have kind of a replacement baby, even though she knows that second baby or those two babies can never be born again. It is really like a traumatic reenactment where we do the same thing again, expecting this time it's going to be different, but it isn't different because the circumstances haven't changed. We also know that statistically, if a woman has one abortion, she is 50% more likely to have a second. And then if she has a second, she is 75% more likely to have a third. And this is not because she's bad. This is because she is traumatized. So all of these things make sense to me. This is exactly where she's supposed to be under the circumstances. So this is normal for having had this traumatic experience.
And where would a person in this position, I realize, you know, we have to be careful. You're not dispensing counsel here. You haven't met this person and so on. But where would a person who is facing those types of challenges, where would she begin? I mean, my sense in listening to the story is that, you know, the marriage is a primary concern. Where would she begin in addressing her issues?
You know, yes. You know, what I think would be so helpful is if she were to, instead of focusing really on the marriage for her to to help herself first. And that would mean going to a counselor or an agency that works with women that have had abortions so they can walk her through the grief process. A lot of times women want to focus on the relationship and kind of reconnecting themselves to their husbands, but really that has been broken through the death of their children from the abortion. So it makes sense that she would go and get what she needs to get support for her to be able to tell her story and not to bash her husband at all. That's not what it's about. It's more about how can we get her the support and guidance she needs so she can be healthy and she can parent and connect with her living children, and then we can pull the husband in and see if we can get them healing together.
Mm. Jessica Slavinsky is our guest, and our phones are open tonight for your questions at 800-811-3003. Talk a little bit more about traumatic reenactment. That's a phrase that I'm familiar with, but many of our listeners may not be. Help us understand the dynamics there.
Yeah, traumatic reenactment is a lot like the statement that you hear a lot about insanity. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over again but expecting different results. Well, traumatic reenactment is when we engage in a situation that will likely lead us to the same outcome, such as a second pregnancy. And when that happens, when the woman becomes pregnant again, they think, well, this time this is going to work out. I'm going to have this baby. I know that I can take care of this baby. And then something or someone says something, and she says, well, I can't do this again. So she aborts again. Within months, she may be pregnant a third time. So it is doing the same thing over and over again because she really wants to get it right. But it's an impossibility because she hasn't worked through the first abortion. She hasn't worked through that problem-solving cycle.
These are complex mental health issues, Jessica, and I want to give you a chance to just address the premise of the American Psychological Association saying, well, abortion isn't the problem. The women who are troubled by abortion were mentally ill going in. And, you know, it can begin to feel that way. It can begin, you know, there's a chicken and egg. Well, if I hadn't had these problems, maybe I wouldn't have gotten pregnant, et cetera, et cetera. But to me, that really smacks of blaming the victim.
Absolutely.
That to me is extremely offensive that they would say, oh, only those hurt by it. Because if that's true, how they feel, you know, where's the mandate for screening, if nothing else? But let's talk about this. How the problems interact with before and after the abortion.
Right. Well, one of the things that we do at PATH is we do help the women and men understand how they got to this point, how they got to the point where they were contemplating abortion. And that comes from, you know, how we were raised and lessons we were taught and morals that we already have in place. But what we find is after the abortion, any anxiety or anything that was there does get much, much bigger. There was a study by Priscilla Coleman, and this was in 2011, and she had she researched many studies of post-abortive folks and synthesized it into one outcome. And what she found was that women with a history of abortion had an increased risk of anxiety that was 34% higher. Depression was almost 40% higher. Alcohol use, 110% higher. Even suicidal behavior. All of these things skyrocket. So it is unfair, certainly, to say that the women that are having abortions were already mentally ill. We don't know that to be the case. But we do know that the experience of having an abortion performed on you or taking the RU486 pill and aborting at a stall and at work, these things are traumatizing. And that makes sense under the diagnostic criteria of post-traumatic stress disorder. It baffles me why they're not grasping this
Jessica Slavinsky is our guest. She's a professional counselor with over 20 years' experience in the mental health and addictions field, and she also works closely with people post-abortion as well as in preventing crisis pregnancy, preventing abortion in the cases of crisis pregnancy. Stay with us and join us with your phone call for our final segment with Jessica, 800-811-3003, coming up next.
Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003. Cradle My Heart with Kim Cattola. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003.
Jessica Slavinsky is our guest tonight. She's a licensed professional counselor as well as a person who's dedicated herself to helping prevent abortion and help individuals heal, men and women, in the aftermath through the PATH Ministry in the Atlanta area and beyond. And Jessica, if someone is looking for a professional counselor as a way to start their healing journey after abortion, how do you go about that? Knowing that, you know, there may be a built-in bias against even your need for help by just using a dartboard and or going on a referral for somebody, you know, who's not aware of what the issues are in post-abortion care.
Absolutely. It is so luck of the draw sometimes if you get a good counselor, if you do not. What is so important is to go to a website that lists therapists that are specializing in post-abortion grief and trauma. If someone cannot access that, they can look on a Christian counseling website and certainly phone the therapist and have a brief conversation asking about the therapist's view on abortion or whether or not the therapist has experience working with post-abortion grief and trauma. I have had people come in to see me whose therapist may have encouraged abortion. And then once the client began to fall apart, they said, well, I can't see you because I don't really know how to treat that. So that's really, really discouraging, and that happens frequently. Mm-hmm. So I think there are certainly sites where you can obtain someone who is trained, and they can certainly look into Rachel's Vineyard, the Care Network. Lots of other pregnancy centers may have post-abortion therapists as well.
Sure. And, of course, we've got those linked at cradlemyheart.org. If you just go to the main page, cradlemyheart.org, I think it's actually on every page. There's a blog role. And all of those organizations are trained to either help or refer. And, Jessica, I really appreciate that. And also just your idea of what you need to look for and to be aware that, you know, there are counselors who just are not – you know, they're not trained. They're not prepared.
Right.
So,
right.
So how do we know when we're on the right healing path? Because, you know, the person who reached out to me with this email, and I mean, mm-hmm. as you said, I've her story is so representative. She talked mm-hmm. about, you know, the fact that she is in counseling and that she has gone to talk with a group. And she, you know, kindly said that this program was helping her a lot. I mean, I think the more that you can talk about it, the more that you can find a safe place. You know,
absolutely.
This is, but I think she wants to know what to expect. When will I feel better? I think she even says, I want to heal and make the right decision. I want to become that fearless, faithful person that I once was. How do we know
absolutely.
When we're on the right path?
Oh, goodness, absolutely. Well, I think for her to be able, or for anyone who's been through an abortion experience to know that they are probably in an acute episode of stress, and for them to be with other people who understand, like a group, they get the support that they need and the education they need to know that they're not going crazy and that this thinking and feelings that they have that's so common. And that normalizes it, you know, normalizes the fact that, oh, I should feel this way in light of what I've been through. But I think they know they're on the right path when people say to them, I'm so sorry you went through that, instead of, well, you can have babies later. That's not a big deal. You have your living children to worry about. So if they are with people that support them and do not veer them away from their pain, they are on the right path. This is a very hard path. But they've already done hard things. They've survived losing their babies. They can absolutely survive going through the pain of grief. And that's how they know they're on the right path.
Oh, your caring has just touched me with your comments here, Jessica, and I really appreciate it. And we are out of time, but we're just going to have you come back.
I would love it. Thank you.
Give us the best way for folks to get in touch with you if they'd like to know more about your activities and your ministry, Jessica.
Yes. Well, PATH is, the website is healingafterabortion.org. We're in Atlanta, Georgia. And my private practice, the website is counselingwithjessica.com. We're also on Facebook, PATH, Post-Abortion Treatment.
Wonderful. And we've got those linked at cradlemyheart.org. Thank you so much, and God bless you, Jessica. Thanks for giving
us your
time and expertise this Sunday evening. Time for a short break, and then we'll return with our guest from Silent No More Awareness Campaign tonight. Beatrice Fedor will share her story coming up next.
This is Cradle My Heart Radio. Call toll free at 800-811-3003. Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
So glad that you could join us tonight. I'm Kim Cattola, your host. Visit cradlemyheart.org for our upcoming program notes. We are just excited to bring you guests week in and week out that help with the healing journey and that create a safe place for finding God's love after abortion. Our ultimate goal, of course, is to prevent abortion by speaking out and telling the truth about the harm that it does to families, to women and men and children. The Silent No More Awareness Campaign is a campaign whereby Christians make the public aware of that devastation that abortion brings, and it seeks to expose and heal the secrecy and silence surrounding the emotional and physical pain of abortion. And we are excited that we have partnered with Silent No More Awareness Campaign to bring you stories each week of women who are doing just that, women who are speaking out because they have been healed. Our guest tonight is Beatrice Fedor, a French woman who used to support abortion rights, had a change of heart after she married her husband and faced her demons, as she puts it, and she became a Silent No More regional coordinator in 2008. She writes about the journey to healing after abortion and reflects the ways that we can change our culture and make abortion unnecessary at her blog, 400wordsforwomen.com. Beatrice lives in South Carolina with her husband and four children. Welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio, Beatrice.
Good evening, Kim. Thank you for having me today.
Have I pronounced your last name correctly?
Yes.
So, good. So it's so nice to meet you. I'm very familiar with your writing, and I follow your blog, and always find myself challenged by, you know, your thoughts and by the way that you're able to express the truth that God has given you. Tell us your story. What happened when you chose abortion? Or I shouldn't even make that assumption. Just simply tell us your story, Beatrice.
Well, first of all, I grew up in a country that accept abortion as a part of women's life. It's not something that was open for debate when I was growing up in France. And when I was 18, I started college and I became pregnant. My boyfriend said, you have to get rid of that. And I was shocked because I thought we would get married. And everybody was telling me that having a baby in college would keep me from graduating. So I went to a clinic, and I took the abortion pill against my will. And as my boyfriend and the doctor were pushing me to take the pill, I felt Satan's presence there. I was an atheist, and yet I knew that an innocent life was about to end and that evil forces were at work. Now, it is a part of my story that is hard to talk about, but people need to hear the truth about the abortion pill. I flushed my baby in the toilet, and it was traumatic, and it didn't help me to graduate. It's been 20 years, and to this day, I don't have a college degree. After the procedure, I started to experience severe depression and anxiety disorder. I hardened my heart, and I became pro-choice to help me cope with the situation because I needed to justify that abortion. 7 years later, I became pregnant again. The father was twice my age, and he was abusive. I was scared, and I needed a quick fix solution to protect myself and my baby from the abuser. So I went to a clinic, and in great anxiety, I was put to sleep. And when I woke up with blood on my legs, I burst into tears. It was inconsolable. I sank deeper and deeper into depression and suicidal thoughts. A couple of years later, I met my husband, and he brought Jesus Christ into my life, but I was still hurting. When I was pregnant with our first child, I was crushed. I was feeling unworthy of carrying an innocent child after what I had done. At that time, I was attending a Bible study, and we had a discussion about forgiveness. And I said, I think I can forgive anything to anybody, but I could never forgive myself for my abortions. That was the Holy Spirit, because I was surprised that these words even came out of my mouth. And then my friends were hugging me and handing me tissues, and I was surprised by my own tears I had kept so long. I received information about a counselor, but it took me months of mental anguish to dial that phone number. And I was still pregnant at that time, and at the end of my pregnancy, I went to see the counselor, and she helped me understand that God's grace is greater than any of my sins. After my son was born, I attended Rachel's Vineyard Retreat, and finally I was able to forgive myself, to find peace. I became Sign No More Regional Coordinator, because I wanted to prevent the evil and the pain of abortion and help post-abortive women who are suffering and don't dare to seek help.
Beatrice, thank you so much for sharing. I share my story as well, not in the same forum and not in the same way, and our stories, you know, are not the same. But I know it's always difficult to return to the story, and so I thank you for sharing it with us tonight. As you have been speaking out for the last 6 years, what's the most surprising thing that has happened when you've been at a Silent No More awareness event?
Well, there are always people who come to you at the end of the event and who say, you know, I had an abortion too. And I never told anybody. And for the first time, I feel like I think I can tell somebody. And maybe I can seek help. And it can be women, men. At the last event, the last pro-life rally where I was, September, it happened with two different people, a man and a woman. And they came to see me at the end, and they shared about their abortion. And it's always powerful.
And so talk about also the impact of your faith. on raising your children now, because you're a very busy mom. And tell me about, you know, this path from atheist to believer while becoming a mother and resolving these issues.
Well, I'm raising my children in the faith, teaching them about Jesus Christ and his church. And this discussion that didn't take place when I was growing up about abortion, I certainly want to have that discussion and keep it going on my blog, and certainly raise my children in a way that they know that abortion is evil, it's wrong, and that we need to help and support women who are pregnant.
I like that, and I think it's I think that's really one of the braver things that we can do. You know, I often talk with women on this program about, well, should I tell my children my story? And, you know, we have to be discerning about that. You have to seek good counsel, and you have to be sure that you're healed and that you're not looking to your children to do that in the telling of your story. But I like what you've said there, Beatrice, about making the teaching part of their growing up, that it becomes a part of the fabric of the family life. There are not many people that I know that are raising their children that way. And I think that's to your credit. And I think that it sets a great example. And I imagine that that is an important component of your ongoing healing journey.
Yes, yes, it is.
To be able to influence your children and see that they can make a better choice. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, for sharing your story with us. If people want to know more about your blog or some of your other activities, how do they find you online, Beatrice?
My blog is 400wordsforwomen.com. And I also have a page on the Silent No More's website. It's by state, so it's South Carolina. In South Carolina, Greenville, and there's my profile there, my testimony, and my contact information also.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much. And, of course, we've got it linked at cradlemyheart.org. Beatrice, thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you so much, Kim.
It's 9:52, and I hope that you are encouraged in listening to a story that's difficult to hear in some of the details. And I appreciate that Beatrice gave us a bit of warning. Perhaps you've never heard a story like that, and perhaps it's very different than what you experienced. But I appreciate you finding this program as this safe place to talk about this, not to for any other purpose than to bring it out into the light. Because that is when the healing begins. You know, this was the purpose when I wrote Cradle My Heart, Finding God's Love After Abortion in 2012, was to give you a resource that you could, you know, approach within your own time. Because I, for myself, many years, I attended a church that had a weekly bulletin announcement that simply said, "Are you hurting after an abortion?" and gave a phone number for a post-abortion support group. And I couldn't lift my hand to make that phone call. And it said confidential support. I could not do it. And I understand. I mean, there were years that I lived that way. I understand. And so the book is meant to be a resource that you can reach for if you cannot reach for the phone, or you cannot open your heart to have a conversation with someone face-to-face and reach out for help in that way. And, you know, if it's something that you feel would benefit you, get in touch with us. We will get a copy to you. 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003. Didn't write the book to make a profit. And, in fact, any net proceeds are going to the pregnancy help movement. And occasionally we have donors who will make copies available. So don't let that be a barrier. If you can't afford to buy the book, just call us and we'll be sure that you get one. 800-811-3003. Because as Jessica Slovensky has said, there is help available. And what is so baffling and so confusing and so crazy-making in the experience makes perfect sense when we can begin to look at it through a lens of the truth of God's Word, the inspiration of His Holy Spirit, and the love of God's people. And we try to bring you all three each week. 800-811-3003 is our number. You can always remain anonymous with us, but do reach out. And if you'd like to send in a question, as our listener did tonight, just go to cradlemyheart.org and use the contact form. I read those emails personally and hold them in the greatest confidence. 800-811-3003 or cradlemyheart.org. I hope you can join us next week. Reverend Walter Hoy is going to be returning, and he is the founder of Issues for Life, California Civil Rights and the Frederick Douglass Foundations of California, and proponent of the California Equal Rights Amendment. He is a man who was arrested for his faith and put in jail for trying to prevent abortion, holding a sign outside an abortion facility, encouraging women to come across the street for help. He was jailed for that in California. And he's got quite a story to tell and quite a ministry to reach out to other pastors to try to help them understand the role that pastors can play in preventing abortion and creating a culture of life, as well as, you know, the concerns that he shares about the African-American community. He notes, Reverend Hoy notes, that the 2012 fertility rate for black Americans is 1.9. The replacement level fertility rate is 2.11. And he says simply, you do the math. So he'll have much to tell us and much to share and a lot of great encouragement from Walter Hoy. I find him one of the most encouraging people that I have spoken with in a long time. Again, cradlemyheart.org is our website. You'll find us on Facebook at facebook.com/cradlemyheart. And we have extended our offer to give you a free download. I haven't talked much about our latest project, my EP of healing songs, a CD called Let Love Love You. But if you go to kimcatola.com and simply leave your email address, we'll send you a free download. You know, there are things that words, even on a page or even face-to-face from a friend or a professional counselor, there are things that words just can't reach that music can. And that's why we put together this CD called Let Love Love You, and would be happy to get a copy into your hands. Whatever it takes for you to understand how much God loves you, how much His people accept you, and need for you to be healed so that you can share the gifts that God has placed in you for His holy and good purpose. We want to see you healed, for you to grasp God's love today. Kim Catola, thank you for joining us so much. Remember, Jesus loves you, and so do we. We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Cradle My Heart. For more information about this show, you can visit our Cradle My Heart program page on myfaithradio.com.